Welcome to the Small Business Show. We have created a podcast to have candid and in-depth conversations with entrepreneur and professional we find fascinating. Learn the tips and tricks for marketing, running, and growing a small business. The Small Business Show is the official podcast of Garuda Promo and Branding Solutions. Hello, everyone. You're listening to the Small Business Show. My name is Swire Ho. You can also call me the promo guy. Joining us today is Jeff Russell, a best-selling author, renowned speaker, and an accomplished entrepreneur. As the founder of many successful businesses and author of his latest book, Fire Yourself First, Jeff is an expert helping business owners break free from the daily grind. Get ready to have an inside conversation as we dive into his proven strategy in achieving business success and living a life well-balanced. How are you doing, Jeff?
I'm doing fantastic, Swire. It's great to be on your show.
Your bio touched on all the key points that I wanted to achieve in my life. But before that, I'd love to find out more about your journey, right? Getting yourself to this book. And what do you like most about firing yourself first? Have you actually fired yourself?
Yeah, great questions. First question, you know, I want to be upfront and clear here. I didn't grow up in a business owner, entrepreneurial family. I didn't grow up with a silver spoon. My dad was in the army. We moved around base to base for my childhood. So I didn't know anything about running a business or starting a business. So after I went to college, I went and got a job like you're supposed to in corporate America, of course. And so that was kind of how my journey began, was grinding it out. But I always knew in the back of my mind, this wasn't fun, right? Like I did what you're supposed to do because that's living the American dream, right? Is, you know, going to college, getting your job. This is in the early 90s. So it was Xerox, right? Which was a big company back then, maybe not so big now, but it was one of the big tech companies. So that was wonderful. I kept getting laid off and packaged out, and I probably should have picked up the nuances there that I wasn't really employable. Like, sure, I could do the work and I was, you know, I'm a very smart guy. I can technically do the work. It wasn't difficult, but then I get bored. I'm like, why don't you do it this way? This would be way faster. Okay. That's one thing in corporate America. They don't want you figure out how to do it faster, cheaper, better, because then the manager's job could be at risk. So you kind of hit this ceiling. And in one of those packages, I got this package of job retraining, how to do your resume, did a bunch of the assessments like Myers-Briggs and all those. And when I did those, they came back and said, you know what? I'd actually recommend you don't get another job. I think you should start your own business. I'm like, okay, that's nice, but I have no idea how to start a business. And so they had suggested looking at the franchise direction or actually doing a business opportunity. And so with both of those options, they teach you how to start a business, how to run a business. So I'm all about leveraging people who've already done it and to help me do it. So I actually chose how to start an equipment financing company, and I started financing equipment, right? So if people needed trucks or, in my case, mainly medical equipment, like MRIs and big equipment like that, I would finance that for them. And so that was, and they told me how to do it, how to set my business up. And from that, that was it for me. That was enough that I just changed to follow the money. And following the money is how I fired myself from my businesses. So that was business number one. Six more businesses happened. I have five of them still today. And I work a total of 10 days a month on all five.
Wow.
So for me, it's about leveraging systems, people, and processes so that the businesses can run without you. And not only does it give you more time freedom, it actually usually generates way more money than I was making before. And it increases the valuation of my business. Because if you have a business that only relies on you, your valuation's very little. So that means someone doesn't want to really buy your business because you're critical to running it. But if somebody can buy your business and bolt it onto theirs and it runs itself, that's much more valuable. And so that's what we were seeing, is that as a side benefit of getting more time freedom and money freedom, I was actually able to grow my business to be more valuable than it's ever been.
That's a lot of insightful notes that you put on there, and I have so many questions for you. Why don't we start at following the money? So if I asked you, Jeff, I wanted to follow what you do. And so what would you actually advise us to follow the money? Is it something that I somewhat have an interest in doing, or I just look at, you know, which sector is growing and then throw myself and see how we could be useful in those, helping those people?
Yeah, and that's a great question, because don't get bogged down in the tactics or what you're doing. So my purpose is to make a positive difference in people's lives by encouraging them to see what they cannot see by serving as their guide. How can I help them? So do I love the equipment financing business? No, not at all. I don't like it. You know, it's not the greatest thing ever, but the margins are good, right? I can do 50, 60% margin. When you have a good profit margin, you have so much more flexibility. Then you can start choosing to do what you want to do. I love helping people. And if I can do that by financing them, and there, it's a win-win for both of us, that makes me happy, right? I also have a training business where I train physicians how to add cosmetic procedures to their practice. So by helping them do this, they're expanding what they can do, and they're happier. If they're happier, then I'm happier. Do I love training? Yes, I do love getting up and helping educate people. So for me, I really enjoy helping people through education, through talks, podcasts, and books. And it doesn't really matter what the subject is, as long as I'm an expert on the subject, right? That's very important. You need to know your subject inside out and be the best at it. And that's why I read 6 business books a month, and I've done it for the last 20 years. So when I don't know something, I look up podcasts, I look up the top selling books on Amazon, and often from podcasts, I can get authors who've written books that I'll buy on Kindle or paperback hardcover, and I'll expand my knowledge. So one of my secrets is I can know nothing, like I know nothing about cosmetic procedures for physicians. I'm not a doctor. I grew up in an army family. My degree is in computer science, so I do know how to program and code, but I know nothing about medical training. That didn't stop me, right? I don't do the training per se, but I teach the business skills around how to apply the training. That's what they really need, and that's what they're missing.
I think you hit on one very good point, Jeff, is if you do decide it, you want to go into a particular sector or field that you're not familiar with. There's so many podcasts available right now. Like even if you name any subject, I could find 10, 50, sometimes 100 podcasts. Then you listen to it. And if the host is good, they provide information that you could do your own research afterwards. Maybe they mention a certain names that you don't know who they are. So you look it up, or maybe they mention a certain books that, you know, like you just mentioned, Jeff, that I could go read those books. Then you become more familiar with what you are trying to do, and then you get better. If then you decided this is something that you want to get into deeper, then you continue the process. And I think, you know, do you think it's easier to pick up information nowadays than when you started your journey to find your first venture back in the days?
Yeah. So, you know, it's funny is, so Xerox, my first job out of college, they invented the GUI, which is the basis of the Mac operating system, Windows. They invented the mouse, right? These guys were tech gurus. And I learned how to program on mainframes. And they have like a Macintoshes there, the very first early ones. Wow. I didn't even know what that was. So I went to the library and I checked out books on how to, a dummy's guide. It wasn't called dummies back then, but it was like a guide. And I would sit in the library and I would read how it worked and how to use it. And I knew basic knowledge. But you know, all the other candidates, they never took the time to do the research. So I knew this much about Macintosh, but they all knew next to nothing. So I was the best guy out of the group and got the job. And so now you don't have to go to the library, right, and get a physical book. You can access so much information. Always fact check it. That's my only thing. Just because it's on Google doesn't mean it's truthful, right? And so with AI as well, you can put in a nice prompt in ChatGPT and get a nice summary of whatever you're looking into. So don't be lazy. And this is one of my, you know, my tips in the book is you've got to hire a team that runs the business without you. And those type of people are ones who are proactive. They will go use Google. They will find information. I have an 11-step hiring guide. And I did that because I hired everyone from psychopaths to A players and everyone in between. And I needed to hire consistently good people because I didn't want to be the business. And one of the steps, I have a question on the first step. And it's like, what do you do if you don't know the answer to a question? And I want to see, like, the answer is Google. Like, it's not rocket science here, right? But I'll hear, I'm going to ask other people. I'll do this. Or no, you're in 10 seconds, you can go to Google on your phone, on your computer, and find at least a basis of it. You need to have that smartness just to be able to go and do that. Because one thing is, everything's changing. And it's changing quickly. I think AI is going to change the future more quicker than anything else in the past ever has. Like, I remember when the internet came on board and it was changed from, you know, Google or Yahoo, that changed the world in a big way, but AI is changing it even quicker, I think.
That's such a good open-ended question when you are interviewing a, you know, prospect to hire. You know, what would you do? Like, tell me the ways that you do to find out the solution if you don't know something that how it works, or you don't know nothing about that subject. And then you listen, right? Then you can see the thinking process going through that person. You know, I don't think that's right or wrong. Like, if that job position requires someone to be very patient, maybe they would do 30 years of research just to get one answer, and you are a research lab, then that's the right personality than someone answer, I do a Google search. That's not going to happen. So I think it's very open-ended, and you will be surprised the answers that coming out from, you know, people, the interviewees.
Yeah, I know, it's shocking. It's absolutely shocking. And another question I always like to ask is, what have you done to improve your knowledge in the last year? And if it's nothing, I don't want them, right? And often it is, well, I haven't really done anything. Like, I do not care if you took a basket weaving course online. That's great. So that just shows you have the natural tendency to want to learn and you're curious. Because when you want to step away from your business, you need people who are curious. They come to work with the batteries included, ready to work, excited to work. And they don't need micromanaging direction. Because the reason I ask, what would you do if you don't know the answer, is I only work 10 days a month. So the rest of the month, you're on your own. I am not going to answer your question at 2 o'clock on a Thursday afternoon if that's not a day that I'm working. If you're going to have to wait till next Monday. And if you wait till next Monday, you're not working for me anymore. You need to have solved the problem by next Monday.
That's a good question to ask, especially depending on what position that you're hiring. You could really tell that person, they are thinker, they are doer. There's no right or wrong. And it's just depending on if it's a good fit for that position. So maybe, you know, this time you're hiring someone in logistics, another time you're hiring someone in marketing, for example. I think they're always a good fit for certain position. You can never fit someone who wants to be outside or they onto a desk job and vice versa. Maybe I don't want any physical labor at all. I don't want to do anything other than lifting a piece of paper up. So there are people out there like that, but by asking them the right question, you get the right answers.
Yeah. And I think most of people listening to this podcast are entrepreneurs at heart. And so we think differently. And you're right. Sometimes the task does not require another person who thinks like us. Mm-hmm. So for example, I work for Fairmont Hotels, and there the things we look for a housekeeper are different than the front desk person. So the front desk person, anything can happen. Like, we've had customers come in saying, there is a ghost on my floor. So, okay, how are you going to deal with that? You need to be able to think quickly and rationalize it and calm the person down. The housekeeper, though, that clock radio needs to be in the exact same position every day. The lamp has to be in the same place. The towels have to be hung a certain way. I don't want the creative person changing it, thinking, oh, I think the towels will look better that way. No, I want the person who loves redundant OCD over and over again, and they enjoy doing that. As entrepreneurs, often we don't enjoy doing redundant, boring stuff. So we kind of get distracted ourselves. But in some of your roles, like in accounting, accounts payable, accounts receivable, answering the phone, like, those are repetitive roles. And I want somebody not like me. I want someone the opposite of me.
Yeah, that's such fun conversation. And, you know, even if you mentioned ghosts, there are people who never stay in a hotel if they hear there's ghost story. But there are people who are drawn to that. They pay more money to go to stay in a hotel that's haunted. Wanted to follow up this question for you. So a lot of entrepreneurs, especially small business owner, right? They basically create the business so they have a job, right? Their business is their job. So how would you guide us to start building it to autonomous, and then for us to start stepping away and ultimately, you know, like you, Jeff, can just spend a few hours within a month to run multiple businesses?
Great question. And this doesn't happen overnight. This is a process. You know, 3 years ago, I made a goal that in 3 years, I would only work 10 days a month. And that started the process. So I started making adjustments. First thing I did is make sure I have everything we do in the business is documented. Whether it's a video with me, just like we use Macintosh, like a quick time screen recording of me doing a process, all of my team members either writing down, recording audio or video the processes, so that we know everything that needs to be done. And so there, once we have that, that is one of the first steps. And that could take you a few months. And so I wanted to go to 10 days. So my goal was to go to first to 20 days a month, because I was working 30 days a month. I was grinding it, doing it. And that's what you have to do when you're starting and building a business. That's normal. You don't start a business working a few days a month. That's like a side hustle. That's not a real business, right? When you can walk away from the business and you make as much or more money, then you have a business. If you're required to be in there, you have a job, like you said. So I want to really make sure the people, when I'm not there, are ready and able to do all the work of the business. So, and what is that? It's the day-to-day operational processes. How you open the store, how you close the store, how you take an order, how you thank the customer for the order, how you fulfill the order. So make sure, first of all, your business, it's running 110% flawless over and over and over again. When that happens, then you know you've got the right team in place and the process in place. Then what I like to do is actually really think about, who do we want to help? And often it's bigger than the business. So you really have to kind of start. Stephen Covey wrote a great book, 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And his first step was, you know, his third step was think with the end in mind. And I love that step, right? So always think about where you want to go. And I like to think 10, 20 years out, bigger than your business. So I mentioned my purpose statement earlier. I want to help people. But how I'm helping them now may mean I sell one of my businesses and I start another business that I can help them, because I've grown. Right? What you knew 20 years ago is not what you know today. right? Think back, right, of what you were 20, maybe some of you 10, 20 years ago, and now what knowledge you know. And in another 10 years, you're going to have more knowledge. So you're going to always be evolving and growing. That's, I think, one of the key traits of a successful entrepreneur. They see opportunities and they just can't help themselves. They want to grow. They want to help more people, provide value. So as you're doing that, and hiring the right people is critical. And if people go to my book's website, fireyourselffirst.com, I actually have an 11-step hiring guide they can download for free. And so that website again is fireyourselffirst.com. And at the bottom, you can click there. And that's how important it is. You need to have your hiring solid. So if you're a solo entrepreneur, think about what one person will alleviate most of the work to get you to the place where you no longer are critical to the running of the business. It could be an executive assistant, could be a salesperson. My philosophy on this is that your first hire should be someone who brings in money. So it should be a sales type person, not an expense person. You know, I hired an EA later on. I hired salespeople first and then people to produce content and produce value to the customer as well. And then marketing, right? You can outsource marketing to agencies, right? For PPC and SEO. So always think about who you can outsource. We still outsource our accounting. We have a big accounting firm, CPA firm. They do all our accounting. We don't want to do that in-house. I'd rather just have people in the business that focus on the business, which is bringing in customers and providing exceptional value. So those are the kind of the key people you bring in first. And then once they're in place, bringing in that consistent revenue, now you can look at supporting them with maybe administrative people so that they can do more revenue. And then as you move away from the business, you need to have that executive assistant. So sometimes you have you at the top in EA and then your marketing, your managers of different divisions and those people. The EA is almost sometimes one of the last people. You can do a virtual EA if you want to do that, but there's a lot of tools to automate your mailbox and do stuff already that it's not as much work as it used to be.
A lot of good stuff there, Jeff. If you can, walk me through on your first business venture, where you see that the business is growing, is stable, I probably make the right hire. What prompt you to kind of step back in a way? And what can you walk us through the step thought process? Do you say, it's okay that I walk away and it's not going down, it's actually running by itself? Like, did you read a book that prompted you to that? Or is it just your thinking process to know the end goal in mind and you wanted to walk away after building up your business?
It's that thinking of the end in mind, and the end is typically selling your business. So if you want to sell your business for the highest valuation, then you need to have a business that's autonomous, that runs without you needing to be there. And that was how I worked back. And so when I was making enough to cover my salary, as well as another salesperson's salary, then I hired that salesperson. So I started my first business in my basement. Okay. No high rises, no anything. This is 20 years ago. And when working from home, you were a pariah. You were not like a success story. So it's kind of interesting. I started working from home in my basement. And then from that, it probably took about a year to get the sales process solid, that I had consistent money coming in, and that not only did I make enough, and if I remember correctly, I think I made $150,000 and a salesperson was $50,000. So I still got to keep the $100,000. So I hired that salesperson. He didn't make $50,000. He made $350,000 for the business, but I only paid him $50,000. So I'm like, yeah, I'll do this all day long, right? Now let's hire another salesperson, right? What? Because he was bringing in $350,000, so more than enough to pay his salary plus the next person's salary. Uh-huh. That's when you bring that in. Then we're into the millions, right? Like it slowly, does it happen in 6 months, 12 months? I know the mindset today is we want it now. No, there is. Take your time and make sure the bottom structure is good. your business operates well, you have a good sales process, you have a good process of getting money. I always like to get my money up front. I don't want to ask for people later. So whenever possible, always get your money up front, then provide the service. And so for my training business, I do that. When I was financing, I couldn't do that. I had to wait till the equipment was delivered. So sometimes it would be 6 months till I signed a deal to the time that I was paid and the equipment was delivered. So don't love those kind of industries, but it got me started and cash flowing. Cash flow is everything, right? You've got to have that cash flow.
So what would you say to business owner that is the expert for the business? For example, using the medical industry, like usually the doctor or maybe a dentist will be the expert required to be in the industry. Can those businesses be autonomous, or it depends on what industry that you're in?
The physician's a good example because here I'm not the expert, right? So am I critical to the business? What happens if that person walks away? Do I still have a business? Like, of course I do, because I have 12 other doctors who will take their place, right? So this is a win-win for the physician as well. So it's always important to build connections and partnerships, right? So over the years, I have a huge network of physicians that do the technical work. So you have to think of your business as this. You have a unique selling proposition that may include specific product or service line. So on my training business, some of my lines are physicians doing physical training. Okay, I cannot do that, which is fine, right? So I've hired them to do that. So I pay them, they do it. It's just like a regular employee. They happen to be contractors because that's what I also suggest, especially if you're hiring people new, make them a contractor because then you have more flexibility. If they don't work out, they're gone, right? If you're depending on your state where you're at. And so that kind of helps them out as well. And so for me, it was always the business, right? The sales and marketing is the toughest part of any business. You need to master and own the customer cycle from prospect to customer to continuously being a customer. It's very important you don't lose that control because it's very difficult to do that. And a subject matter expert, like a physician in this case, didn't learn how to do that in medical school. But they know how to do the specific task very well. So just kind of think of that. You need to master the operations of your business, which is really marketing, sales, and then making sure you have the money coming in. You've got to be able to count the money. So don't lose that. Don't just provide value, value, value. And don't undervalue yourself, right? That is another thing I see people. I'm not a doctor. I shouldn't be charging what I do. Yeah, I charge more than doctors charge, right? Because I have that experience that I can put everything together.
Yeah, that's really good advice. But I think a lot of highly educated professional mentioned doctors, attorneys probably is in the group. I am the best person to run my business. So I think they're controlling, I will use the word controlling. They don't want to give it away. Like, you don't do it as well as I do. Think about if you run a law firm or if you run a hospital, for example, you just basically have different physicians who are the best of what they do to come in and do different procedure. And then as a owner for a law firm or hospital, you don't do the procedure. You manage the process. You make sure that you have the right hire or fit into whatever business that you're in. Yes, you might be the best person, but if you could find someone maybe do 80% of what you can, I think that's good enough for a lot of people. Sometimes when you start to step away, people work with the 80% of what you can do. And if people are fine with that, then you can get away.
Yeah, that's a good comment because we're our biggest critic. Okay. And you're absolutely right. I do this in everything I do. If I'm working on something, as soon as it's 80%, I ask myself, is this 80% done? I'm like, yep. Yeah, and then I'm done. Because it'll never be 100%. Yeah. And so you have to realize it in things you do. You will get way more done if you think of the 80%. So how do I do my 10 days a month? I don't think I'm working any less than 30 days a month. But when I work, I'm hyper focused and I have very good filters on what I'm doing and why. So it's almost like that Friday before you take your family vacation, you're getting everything done, answering all the calls, the emails, because you do not want to be bothered when you go to Disney, right? So you're all set doing that. I work like that every one of my 10 days a month because I'm like, this is it. Like today's my last day. So once I'm done with you, I've got a very busy calendar and I'm boom, 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 boom. Everything's done. When you work like that, you don't realize how often you get distracted. And this is a thing, especially for entrepreneurs. You start, oh yeah, I'm looking up this online marketing thing. And then all of a sudden I'm on the Google for 3.5 hours and I've actually done no work. Okay. We don't go down that. So when you think about the 80% and having an employee do 80%, you're probably only working 80%. At least this person is just working on that one aspect. And so, yes, don't be super critical. Expect good work, a good work ethic. That goes. But don't expect them with your 20 years of knowledge to be able to work as fast as you.
You're living the dream life, and I want to find out, what do you do the rest of the month? Like, are you learning? Are you just eating chips at home? Like, what do you spend the rest of your time?
You know, I always like to help people. So in my network, I start letting people know I'm now available. And this is one of the things. When I was grinding it, all of a sudden I looked down and I'm like, oh my goodness, it's 2 p.m. I didn't even eat lunch, right? I'm just grinding it. Now I'm having lunch with, you know, local business owners, you know, 2-3 times. I've started groups where I have a breakfast group where we meet every couple of months. I invite 10 people that I don't really know. And we talk about the future. How difficult is it going to be to hire people with, you know, is unemployment where it is, interest rates are higher, the expenses that employees have to pay for housing and gas and food is higher, that all affects us. So what I do is I try and just think about where we're at, where we're going to, and always thinking 3 to 5 years out. I will volunteer at the local high school and help them get prepared for job interviews, talk to things. So volunteering is big. I've built orphanages in India. I help the veterans food banks, you know, so now I get a chance to give back the time that I never had before because I'm making more money than I ever was. And sure, I'll go biking and kayaking and do that fun stuff and golfing during golf season. So I'll do those as well. And you're right. You mentioned in there, I can't help but learn. So if I don't know something, then I want to learn about it. So for example, I have a family office. So what I do is my operating companies now all run themselves. They funnel money into my family office, which is a corporation that invests in stuff. And I have 4 pillars. I have equities, I have real estate, I have alternative investments, which are like VC funds, early funds, businesses, and I have cash equivalents. I knew nothing about real estate syndications 6 months ago. And I started listening to podcasts, reading some books. And now during that downtime, I'm very knowledgeable, more than the average person, because this is the thing. I have millions of dollars that I'm investing here. Why would I give that to someone who doesn't make as much as me, right? Do they really know how to manage that money? And I learned that from Rich Dad, Poor Dad, right? So often these people that are managing millions and trillions of dollars don't really, they make 100 grand a year, 150,000 a year. Well, that's nothing, right? So if you're bringing in millions a year, I expect you to know how to manage that millions a year. And so I want to have at least a good base knowledge so that I know if somebody's kind of snow me over or tell me stuff that's not really true. And you're going to get a lot of that in the financial planners, real estate syndications, real estate investments. You're going to get a lot of shysters in that business. So spend some hours educating yourself if that's what you want to do. But before that, I spent my time learning about marketing, sales, providing customer value, hiring people, right? Like things that are specific to my business as it grew. Now I know all those, don't have to go there again. I'm looking at learning new things I just don't know, find interesting.
That's such a great answer, Jeff. I think it goes back to what you said in the beginning is you follow the money by volunteering, by spending time with business owners and people who are struggling. You actually, I'm sure that you can pinpoint certain pain point or things that's going on in your community or probably in the world. Then you know that if the problem is big enough, there are probably going to be money allocated in there. And then as good as you are in your entrepreneurial journey, you probably maybe create another business to help those industry. And I think that, you know, you're creating the wheel that keep spinning around, and then, you know, you're doing something that you love and you enjoy for. But then at the same time, I'm sure that if you see the opportunity, you go in there.
Yeah, I can't help myself. So yes, there is a couple of business seeds that have started for sure. And, you know, but you always have to look back as well. Like when I wrote Fire Yourself First, I'm not a consultant. I don't have anything to sell. This book was to give back to business owners and entrepreneurs who were either starting out or maybe been grinding it for 20 years. And like, is this it? Do I have to continue to grind it? Because I thought I started a business to have money and time freedom, but I don't seem to have either of those. And so I try to, and I'm a very simple guy, like four simple steps, right? First, you got to know your big picture, what your purpose is. My purpose is to help people. And it could be children in India who don't have a family or a home, or it could be a physician who wants to learn a new skill or a hospital that needs new equipment. I want to help those people. Second step, you got to hire the autonomous team, right? The team that's going to run without you. And so I nailed an 11-step process that I've been. And again, it took me 10 years to create. Like this wasn't, oh yeah, this is what you need. You have to fail before you, but you have to learn from your failures. And then the third thing was I had to have KPIs, like dashboards, scorecards, so I knew the numbers and everyone who works for me know what's expected of them and what winning looks like. If it's selling so many widgets a week or answering the phone in three rings, those are very documented. And the fourth thing is, what's next for you? You have to think, if your business is running well and stunning, and you could do anything, what would you do? And that will help motivate you to get your business running autonomously, whether you want to keep it as an ATM and it just generates money for you every single month, or you want to sell it at the highest valuation. You're going to have to do those four steps either way.
Before the show, I asked Jeff like if he's okay that I ask him to recommend books I want to read. But knowing all the four pillars that you mentioned in the book, I don't think I have to ask you that question. But let's talk about the book a little bit more. Who is the intent audience? Is this someone who have created the business and feel that they're stuck? Or is it for a new entrepreneur who just started the business and you will help them plan to see the end goal so then they know what it takes to get to that point?
It is really meant for both. And it was meant more as a mental health exercise, because as you either create a business or you've been in a business, you're going to get stressed out. Things are going to be awesome and then they're going to go right down. So you have to really be prepared to think about the ups and downs of being the entrepreneurial journey. And when you have a clear exit or end and a clear purpose, it makes it way easier. Sometimes your purpose is just to grind it out and make money for my family so we can eat. Okay, so that's good, but your purpose has to be bigger than that. So I want you to start thinking about that purpose. And on our website, fireyourselffirst.com, I actually have free downloads. One of them is called the Clarity Map, and it helps get clear if you're fuzzy on really what your next step is, what your big purpose and goal is. And then another tool I have is the 11-step hiring guide. So you get the entire guide that I've used and developed to help you kind of build that out. If you've been grinding it and you've been in your business 10, 20 years, now it's time for what's next. This book gives you a checklist to make sure you have the right autonomous team, some tips on how to test that. as well as make sure your next step is clear. Because I've heard from a lot of people who've sold their businesses, they didn't know what to do next and they felt lost. So before you sell your business or scale out of it, make sure it's very clear what you're going to do next. And I like to think, who do you want to help? Right? Because you have a lot of knowledge, you have a lot of ability. So who do you want to help may help you find out who that person is. And so really think about that. So on either end of the spectrum, it's a great book. There's a lot of practical tips, a lot of anecdotes, as well as interviews and things that I've seen in my 20 years in business, starting from my basement to multi-million dollar businesses that funnel money into a family trust where I don't have to work. I haven't had to work for years. I work because I enjoy doing what I do.
Jeff, I wish we had this conversation 10 years earlier. So you probably saved me years, right? But I'm so glad that we had this today. You know, a lot of good point in there. You know, if you're just starting out, if you're struggling with your new hire, or, you know, like you said, a lot of people actually die early when they sold the business or when they retire. I think those are the people who haven't thought about what they're going to do afterwards. They think that when I sell my business, when I quit my job, it's the day that I die. And I talk to people like that in Chamber of Commerce, like the day I quit is the day I die. So there's life after the business. There's always life after the business. Even the business is your baby. So think about that.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? You can't help yourself, but see opportunities where other people can't. So don't, you know, you take advantage of that free time. It's actually going to expand your knowledge and your wealth. Doesn't seem like it, but it will. Trust me.
Yeah. Thank you so much for coming on to the show today, Jeff. I really learned a lot.
Thank you. It's an honor being on here, Swire.
Thank you for listening to the show. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to the podcast and share with your friends or colleagues who might benefit from the conversation. Any questions or feedback, feel free to reach out to me on LinkedIn. I'd love to connect with you. Our show is live streamed both on YouTube and LinkedIn every Tuesday at 10 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. I'll see you next time.